بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is the ambition of every Muslim that he has a safe journey to Jannat. We are here for that very purpose, that our journey to the end of this life through the Qabr into Jannat must be safe, easy and pleasant. Basically, this is the whole effort, this is the drive, and this is the struggle. The whole struggle is for the same reason. Now, within us, there are problems, there are hurdles, there are obstructions. All that needs to be cleared up. Some are the major problems, some are the smaller problems, but problems are there genuinely, and all of these problems have to be cleared up from the system. One person came up to Raipur and he'd seen the people engaging in zikr, in tilawat, and completing their lengthy schedules for the days that they were there. So he says, ye chakki mere se pisi nahi jayegi. I won't be able to handle this. This is too much for me. He mentioned this once, and then the second time, and then the third time. When he mentioned this for the third time, and it reached the ears of Maulana Raipuri Sahib, and he explained him. He says that, see, you are talking about you not being able to going through this mill here, whereas you aren't even yet worthy of going through the mill. Not even worthy of going through the mill. Before the milling process, you have to have the crop. You don't even have the crop, and forget the crop. You don't even have that land that is conducive for the crop. The land that is conducive for the crop, that also you don't have. The land is filled up with thorns, with stones, with trees and shrubs. So, first of all, that land has to be cleared. All the dirt, the rubbish that is there, the rubble that is there, all that has to be cleared. There's so much of it. See? So all that has to be cleared first. And after the rubble, that stone, the thorn, and all the obstacles that is on that land, all that is cleared, then it is the second stage. We have to soften that land. We have to prepare that land. And after that land has been prepared, then we dig the furrows. Right? Then we plant the seed. Then the crops come out. And after the crops have come out and they matured, then we harvest them. Then after we harvest them, after some time, when they hardened, then we take them to the mill. The milling process only comes there. Then does the milling process commence. The chaff is removed from the grain, then put into the mill and refined. Fined and refined. And then eventually, after it's refined, then it is grounded into atta and flour, converted into bread, and then after it's put into the mouth and chewed and digested, then that will be the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you haven't even started off the very beginning process of cleaning the land. The land of the heart is so filled with so much of dirt. Right? And you are saying that you aren't prepared to go through the mill. The milling process is a process that comes far afterwards, far later. Look at the very beginning. The beginning process haven't yet been completed. That beginning procedures haven't yet completed. And you want to go talk about the milling process. So, obviously it is a journey that we want. And we want that safe journey. All of us want that. Right, on that safe journey to Jannah, no problems. You don't want difficulties. Right. Within our minds, sometimes we need to reflect that in worldly matters, how much difficulties we don't go through, right, for something to come right, and how many difficulties we don't go through. The child, for him to become of the age where he can generate an income himself, how much of difficulty we keep encouraging him, helping him out with his assignments, his schoolwork, and then admit him into university, then he must go for some tuition. Eventually, then he graduates. After he graduates, then he looks for some small job, then he comes established, and then eventually he goes into a practice of his own. So after how many years, then he settled eventually. Right? And then too, if that business prospers, then it is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise you will have many people out there, but they are not prospering. Although they are professional people, but they don't prosper. So similarly, like in dunyavi matters, we go through the difficulty, the hardship, because of the fruit that we see at the end, the consequence that we see at the end, we prepare to go that mile. We prepare to undertake that journey. We know what is coming at the end. So this journey that we are undertaking to the akhirat, that is obviously all the more important that we undergo all this difficulty, whatever. Namaz, have to perform that namaz. Leave out this wrong. Leave out that haram. Leave out that thing that is doubtful to your iman, doubtful to your amal, doubtful to your deeds. So you have to keep on checking yourself all the time. This seems to be doubtful, doesn't seem to be clear. This is not right, this is haram. So all the time you have to remove these weeds, these thorns, these stones that are on the way. All those thorns, those stones, all that will have to come out. Right? Once those stones, those thorns, those rubble, and those obstacles that are on the way, they have come out, right? Then you can start off your work. It's not that the journey has commenced. No. Now you can start off your work. Now you can start planting. You can prepare that land. Now you can start planting. So this is a lengthy journey. Allah, إِنَّ سِلْأَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةٌ أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْأَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ This sale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He's selling to you, is a very precious commodity. It's not a small thing, not thrown on the street there. He is offering you Jannat. When He's offering you Jannat, then Jannat has a price. It's not a cheap thing. It's not a cheap commodity thrown on the street. You pay the price, you will gain the. So, this is what we need to understand at the i'tikaf, at the ending of the i'tikaf. This is what we need to understand, that we shouldn't feel for a moment now we have gained everything and we can do as we please. So we have secured our Jannat, we have secured our hereafter. No. This is just a preparation. This is just a preparation, getting the soil right, getting the field right, getting all the hurdles out of the way. The thorns that we're on the way and those hurdles that we're on the way, we're just trying to get those hurdles right, getting them out. Now, if someone continues after that, he continues, he's constant on all what he was instructed in and the programs that are held, he remains like that, he remains constant on the program, he remains committed, then he will find progress. Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi says that many a times people come here and spend time in Ramadan, and after Ramadan i'tikaf is over, when they return home, then they write letters of sorrow and grief that whilst we were here at the Khanqa, everything was going on well. Now back at home, now we go back to square one, and we don't have the type of charge, we don't have the type of fire, we don't have the type of motivation that we had whilst we were here in Ramadan. So you would write up to them and say that if you want this type of charge to continue, then the type of program that is set out for you in Ramadan, you need to continue with that program. You need to first of all set up a group of friends, is zikr, etc. Right. It's best that if it is done in company. Right. And the reason why it is better that it must be done in company is that when it is done in company, one becomes an encouragement for the other. One becomes an inspiration for the other. Right? You doing it and he is doing it, and all of you all are doing it at one and the same time. So when you are doing it at one and the same time, then it's an encouragement. If you're doing it individually, one day you will do it, the next day you will feel, well, I won't do it after Fajr, I will do it after Maghrib. And the third day you will feel, alright, I can't do it completely, but do it half. And the fourth day you say, no, today I'll have a break, tomorrow I will do it. And eventually this thing goes right down. But if you're doing it in company, then you feel, well, everybody is doing it, and it will be not right if I don't join in. Everybody else is doing it, everybody is participating in the program, why shouldn't I? So you will join, you'll want to be at the program as well. So the one advantage of doing it together collectively is that you are doing it and there is a harmonious mahol, environment that is harmonious to what you are doing. So it is easier for you to complete your ma'mool, it is easier for you to complete your zikr. Number two, when you are doing it together, then you are attracting the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yadullahi al-jama'ah. The special mercy of Allah ta'ala is on the jama'at. Collectively, right? Number three, when you are doing it collectively, then the different people that are participating in the zikr there, some have got some good quality in their heart, some have got some other good quality in their heart. He must have a very high degree of sincerity. The next person may have a very high quality of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other one may have a very high quality of truth and honesty. So now you all engage in zikr at one and the same time. So the good of your heart is reflecting in his heart, and the good of his heart is reflecting on your heart. And in this way, your zikr becomes kamil. Your zikr becomes complete. So in this way, one is encouraged through the other. Not that the one that is making zikr individually, his zikr is not complete, his zikr is not ascending to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his zikr is anyway deficient, zikr is complete. But in this way, one gets the type of a morale pickup. You feel himmat afzai, you feel encouraged now, he's doing it, let me do it, and the third person. So one simple way to achieve this is say 3-4 people are living in one place. Henry Road, now 3 people are living in the same street. So right, 3 of us are living here, so why don't we come in at one time that is easy and manageable for 3-4 of us. Right? It's easy, 1 kilometer away, and we are at that one point, and we're all collecting at that one single point to make zikr. Right? The time is set out, you are there, he is there, and you start off your zikr. Remember, if you have this type of agreement and arrangement, and you set the time, then once the time comes in, then start off. Then, don't wait for the next person to come. Say you have agreed that you'll start off at 5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock on the dot, you start off. Then the next person comes, or he doesn't come, or he comes with a little bit of delay. You don't be concerned about it, and don't ask him why he came with the delay. He'll come and he'll do it according to his ease and convenience. You do it, you start it off. But now you're going to wait for him, and he's going to wait for you. Then one day, half an hour may pass like this, the next day 1 hour will pass, and the whole atmosphere will break. So the simplest, easy way, as the Shaykh advises, that people living in one place, in Spingo you are living, alright, it's easier for you to collect at one place, the masjid, madrasa, in this masjid, the top masjid, or you're living in Spingo Hills, for example, right? Then it is easier for you to collect at one time. The time that is easy, it is convenient, you collect at that time, and you start it off. And you will find it will build momentum. As Shaykh Ramtai had written a correspondence to some of the great ulama in Pakistan at that time, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi and Mu'ayyusuf bin Nuri Sahib Rahmatullahi. And both were complaining about the deteriorating conditions of people and the children in the madrasa, although they are learning our big kitabs, but we don't find the color that we used to find once upon a time. At one time it was such that those children, all of them, were very particular about Takbir-e-Ula. They never miss out their Takbir-e-Ula. And now you're finding that sometimes one rakat is missed, 2 rakats is missed. Sometimes you find that sometimes the whole namaz becomes qaza. The namaz is missed out entirely. And you don't find the type of conduct and behavior that we used to see once upon a time. At one time they were so polite and they were so obliging. They were so respectful to the seniors and the teachers. So now we don't find that quality. We used to find that there used to be a content lot of people, whatever food they are getting, whatever treatment they are getting, they are receiving, they are quite happy and they are quite comfortable and they are continuing with the life. Right? Now we don't see that type of pattern. So these two ulama, Mufti Shafi Sahib and Imam Yusuf Binori Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi ma, both senior ulama of Pakistan, they are complaining. This is the khulasa, the essence of their complaint for the Shaykh Muhammad, that what do we do? What is the way out? Allah says that in my opinion, the solution, the remedy to this problem is have the zikr program. He says, one of them commented afterwards, but don't we have the Quran Sharif recited in the madrasa? Don't we have the hadith being taught here? This is also a zikr. When this is a zikr, then won't that be quite sufficient? Do we need to have zikr in its place as well? The Shaykh Hamdali says that, you see, all are medication, right? All medication. But every medication has its own effect. One medication has one effect, the other medication has a different effect. But now for the problem that we are setting, this is what we are needed. We need, and this is what we require. A different sickness, a different problem, you need a different medication, right? Same, all are zikr. But in respect to the problem and the situation, this is the type of thing that you require. That you require people sitting collectively and engaging in zikr. Then he went on to say, see, look at it. Adi says that the Qiyamah will not take place as long as there is someone to say Allah, Allah. So the entire continuity of this world depends on Allah, Allah, the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire continuity, existence of this earth is subject to someone saying Allah, Allah. As long as there is someone saying Allah, Allah, then the earth will continue. Right? And the moment everybody stops saying Allah, Allah, the earth will discontinue. So its continuity depends on Allah, Allah. So when the continuity of the entire earth, entire globe, is subject to Allah, Allah, then what is your small madrasa in comparison to the entire earth? Is there any significance compared to the entire earth, your small madrasa? No comparison. So the entire earth is subject to someone saying Allah, Allah, and that is why the earth is continuing. So your madrasa will definitely thrive, it will definitely flourish if there is someone there to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is this type of zikr programs and this type of zikr done collectively. Remember, Allah ta'ala grants us increase when we have learned the previous lesson. Right? Now you say, Allah ta'ala, you want increase. You want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the previous lessons that have been taught to you, the lessons that have been imparted to you, you haven't perfected that. Right? You say the ustad, you want to go into say a kul sipara, right? Ustad says, alright, get that alif lam sipara, right? Get it perfected, then we'll push you on to say a kul. But you're not perfecting that alif lam, and you want to go into the second sipara, he will say, aage door, piche chor. What he will say? Aage door, and piche chor. So you can't continue that. You need to perfect this first one, then we'll push you on to the second. Though exactly the same, the wazifa, the practices that you are doing, perfect that first. Get that right. As you perfect it, as you practice it, you perfect it, then you will go forward. And one standard statement that they say is, maamulat ki pabandi, tarakki ka zina hai. Maamulat ki pabandi, tarakki ka zina hai. That being that punctuality, punctuality is the staircase to progress. What? You are punctual, you will progress. That punctuality is the staircase to progress. You are punctual, definitely you will progress. And then don't be concerned that I'm doing the zikr, and the zikr is done without any spirit, without any life in it. Just do it, just continue. Others, you have to say, hastam partam, hastam pastam, girte parte, karte raho. Don't worry, you have that full concentration, or half concentration, or no concentration, just continue doing it. Just continue doing it. You see, when you're laying the foundation, right, you're laying a foundation of a structure, then you don't look at the beauty of the foundation. You're going to see how beautiful it is, how beautiful is the finish of the foundation. No. All the rubble, all the dirt is thrown into the foundation. You're not concerned about the beauty and the finishes of the foundation, right? So the beginning of this is also the same. But that very beginning, that foundation, carries the structure that is going to come afterwards. So similarly, at this stage, we are at the beginning. Right? When we are at the beginning, then this is the foundation stone that is being laid. So don't worry about the absence of concentration. I don't have the concentration. My mind is not there. My mind is wandering around everywhere. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that from your entire body, He has got one organ of yours engaged in His remembrance. Your tongue is in His remembrance. See? If He's got your one organ, one tongue, one thing engaged in His remembrance, that is a thing to be very, very excited about, that one organ of yours is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, this will progress from one thing to the other, first to the second, second to the third, and you will go on in this way. But now you begin to feel, no, I don't have the concentration. What is the use of just repeating these words here? When I don't have any concentration, I don't have the type of focus of mind, what is the good of it? You will think negatively, and then you will fall, and you will fall very badly. Just carry on. These mashayikh that tell you in this manner, they don't tell you these things just taking a shot in the dark. No, they have gone through this way, they have seen everything, they have seen the rise and the fall, they have seen the progress and the retrogress, they have seen the reasons why people progress and why people fall backwards. And after they have seen all this, they are prescribing to you that you carry on. Don't worry about it, you don't have that focus, but you carry on. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai, aashika ka, aashiko ka, meena aur jaam hai. What a beautiful name, Allah, Allah. You repeat that name. What a beautiful name. It is like the wine of the lover. Like the lover cannot do without the wine. And it is a fulfillment. Without it, he doesn't feel that fulfillment. He cannot go to sleep. He must have that goblet before he sleeps. So similarly, that person that is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he cannot go to sleep without remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you go on. When you go on remembering Him, then you will find that love of Allah ta'ala will permeate your heart. And you can't leave it. You can't do without it. Like that person who is addicted, he cannot do without his addiction. He has to serve his addiction. Similarly, when you become addicted, you become fond of the name of Allah ta'ala, then you can't sleep without it. You can't sleep without it. And then for one hour, 2 hours is nothing. To remember Allah ta'ala, to recite the Quran Sharif, 1 hour, 2 hours, the entire night is nothing. Night, you find it difficult because we haven't tasted it. Once you got the taste of it, then to spend 3 hours, 4 hours to go carry on remembering Allah ta'ala, it's a simple thing, easy thing. You're enjoying it. Why? You've got the enjoyment of it, you've got the taste of it. Now that we don't have the taste of it, say, you know, half an hour I must sit and make zikr half an hour. So you begin to feel it a burden. Why? There isn't the taste. The moment you got the taste, that enjoyment, now you just want to do it all the time. And then the mashayikh will have to tell you, just control it now. Don't do too much. Just do 1 hour. They have to hold you after. They have to hold you after that. Don't do too much. Just do 1 hour, 1.5 hour. Just like you'll beat us just now. Eh? So you just go a little bit slowly. They have to put you into your paces. They have to put you backwards a little bit slowly. You're going too fast. Understand? So the one important thing is that be punctual in all your ma'mulat. Whatever ma'mulat they give you, small ma'mulat or big ma'mulat, be punctual upon it. Like, you can't do without food. And food also you'll find. One day you're eating it with chia, with happiness. Right? Medication you're eating one day, and you're eating it, you're taking it bitter. It's bitter, but you're taking it. So similarly, sometimes the ma'mulat is bitter, it is difficult, but you're taking it. Why? On the day it is bitter and it is difficult to take, then it is a medication. And the body definitely requires to have its medication regularly. And the day it is taken with enjoyment, then consider it to be a nourishment. And like the body requires medication, it requires nourishment. You can't say that the body only requires a medication, it doesn't require nourishment. It requires a nourishment, it requires a medication. The day it is sweet and it is enjoyable, then it is a nourishment. The day it is bitter, it is a medication. The body, for its upkeep, for its well-being, it requires both medication and nourishment. Both it requires. So similarly, this spiritual self of ours requires both. It requires medication, it requires nourishment, all the time it requires. So this ma'mula that they have given you, they ask you to do and be punctual upon, then under all circumstances, there mustn't be a day that you leave it out. Even if you are in space, reach the moon, then to complete your ma'mulat. Don't leave it out. One is the ma'mulat. Amongst the ma'mulat, the greatest thing is this, that the observance of salat with takbira ula and with jamaat. Right? Greatest thing is, amongst the ma'mulat that they give you, the first and the most important thing is the observance of namaz in the first serve with takbira ula. Don't let that be missed out under any circumstance. I was explaining to you, the janazah of a great buzurg had come, Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi, very, very great leading buzurg of India. His janazah is placed there and his bequest is being read out. The bequest is being read out that that person must lead the janazah namaz who meets these two criteria. One is that the sunnahs of the Asr and Isha is never missed out. And number two, he's never looked towards haram. Now there are great people there in the audience, but nobody is taking the initiative to go forward. Maybe we haven't looked towards haram, but we cannot guarantee ourselves that we haven't missed out the sunnahs of Asr and the sunnahs that go before Isha. And then the king of the time, Sultan Shamsuddin, right? Sultan Shamsuddin Al-Tamash, he goes forward and he says, today, this buzurg and this sheikh, he has exposed me. This was a secret between me and Allah Ta'ala, that I never missed out my Asr sunnats and my Isha sunnats. I never missed it out. Right? I never missed it out. And I never looked at any haram all my life. But today, this buzurg has exposed me. Right? All my life. So imagine the king of the time, such a big schedule, running such a big country like India, but he had the time not to miss out his takbir ula, not only miss out the takbir ula, but those sunnahs that come before that faraz, he hadn't missed them out all throughout his life. Right? Understand? So, the most important thing in our ma'mulat is the performance of our namaz with takbir ula in the first serve. And the easy way to get it is at least 5 minutes or 7 minutes before the azan can go for any namaz. We are already preparing. We don't wait for the azan, then we prepare. 5 minutes or 7 minutes before the azan can go, we know, alright, Asr namaz is at 5:30. Azan is going at 5:15. So at least about 5:10, 5:05, I must be in readiness. If you are preparing 10 minutes, 5 minutes at 4:05 or 4:10, then by 4:15 you are ready. Now, there isn't the possibility of you missing out that Asr namaz, even if you get caught in the traffic. But you're preparing from 4:05. If you're preparing from 4:05, even if you got caught in the traffic 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes at the most, but you will definitely reach the masjid at 4:20, 25. You will reach the masjid. So for you to miss out the takbir ula will be a very, very remote impossibility. It can't be possible that you miss out the takbir ula. So this is the first thing in your ma'mulat, that never miss that namaz with jamaat, and the first serve and the takbir ula under any circumstance. Business is, you have to close the business, close it down. You have to close the office, close it off. But don't miss that namaz. Get it with takbir ula. Wherever you are, whether you are in journey, whether you are at home, wherever you are. In Nizamuddin, there was a buzurg, Munshi Ala Data, Rahmatullah Alayh. He wasn't an alim. He says, I remember him saying that for approximately 50 years, he never missed out his takbir ula. An ordinary person. He wasn't an alim. But how did he manage not to miss out his takbir ula for 50 years? Here, we'll not miss our Takbirah Ula for 40 days. I'll make a big song about it. You know, for 40 days, I never miss out my Takbirah Ula. Yeah, 50 years, the man did not miss out his Takbirah Ula. So, one plans himself, alright, I'm going here, I'm going to Spingo Hills, for example, right? So, if I'm leaving at 4:15, I'll make it in good time, inshallah, namaz is 4:30, I won't miss out my namaz. I'm going there for some work, I'm going to town, namaz, I found out the namaz times in town, for example, it's at 4:30. So, I'm leaving at good time, I'm leaving at 4:15, 3:30, I know, even if I'm caught up in the traffic, but I'll reach there about 4:05 or so. And I will get my Takbir Ula. So one is programming himself in advance. You know, he won't use those excuses to cover up for himself. He won't say, no, well, I went out on time and I got caught in the traffic, so Allah will give me the sawab. No, he won't use this type of silly explanations. He will say, no, I need to get there at 4:30 on the time. I need to be there before the time. So he'll make all that arrangements so that he can get his Takbir Ula on that. So the main thing in your ma'mulat is your takbira ula. As the imam says, the first Allahu Akbar, in the first surf, you are there. You haven't missed it out. That brings that unique type of flavor in your namaz. Your namaz, and you want that unique, special type of flavor in your namaz. Just see to it that you got your takbira ula, and you will find a unique type of a flavor and an enjoyment in your namaz. But you don't get without it. A unique flavor and enjoyment that you get, and the day you missed it out, say, hey, I missed out something. I have missed out something terrible. Hazrat Gangoi Sahib rahmatullah alayh, there was a jalsa in Dioban, and you know, when a buzur comes and everybody was to meet, make mulaqat, make mulaqat. Now his takbirah ula was lost, and not that he missed out the rakat, he got the rakat, but he just missed the takbirah ula with the imam. Though it would be said that he's got the takbirah ula, right? Hukman. You say he's got a takbir ula, but he didn't get the maximum. After the namaz was over, people saw him in deep state of remorse. In a deep state of remorse he was. So that's what happened. So now, after 23 years approximately, 23 saal ke baad meri takbir ula chhoot gayi. After 23 years now, I have missed out my takbir ula. So the person who is punctual with his takbir ula, then he has a special enjoyment, special flavor in his namaz. And when you have that, when you used to that special flavor, that special flavor, you don't get it, you'll feel that remorse, you'll feel that regret within you that I didn't have it today. Right? So this is the most important thing in your ma'mulat, your namaz, right? The second most important thing in the ma'mulat is leaving out anything that is doubtful, association, company, things, books, literature, anything that you feel is doubtful. That's going to bring a damper in your namaz, it's going to bring a damper in your thinking, anything for that matter. Anything that is going to bring a damper is going to reduce the type of light and the brightness in your namaz or anything. Just leave it out. For whatever it is, you have a doubt about it, just leave it out. Just leave it out. You'll be better without it. At the beginning, definitely you will find it difficult. At the beginning, you will find it difficult. But when you come to terms with it and you get the sweetness of iman, this is rubbish, man. I've got the sweetness of iman. What must I do with all these things here? I don't need these things here. But that is after you have enjoyed the sweetness of iman. You've got the sweetness of iman, then these things will all be rubbish. You are not concerned about it, not worried about it. You'll be just ignoring these things. Why? You have tasted that sweetness of iman. That's why the hadith says, a person sees a beautiful girl, or a lad for example, right? Beautiful, handsome. And that thing attracts him. Whether it's real, or whether it's on the cell phone, on a movie, or in the internet, whether it's a newspaper, you see a girl. And straight away, you just lowered your gaze. You closed your eyes straight away. You didn't look for the second time. You blocked it off completely. That person who blocks it off completely, accidentally he's seen, and then when he's noticed that it was something haram, he blocked his eyes completely. Then he didn't even look at the corner of his eyes, that girl is still walking. I don't get a guna, you know, I'm just looking now whether she's out of the sight or not, you know. So he's not even looking for the corner of the eyes. But he closed his eyes immediately. So the hadith says, Zaqa ta'amul iman, Zaqa halawat al iman. That person, he will find the sweetness of iman in his heart. يَجِدُ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ فِي قَلْبِ. He will find the sweetness of iman in his heart. But try it out, right? At least for a try or trial run. You want that sweetness, you want that enjoyment, you want the real cheer in the heart. Try these things out. Cheap, free recipes that are given to you from the hadith, from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Try these things out. Do we have to go through all the difficulties and then come to this conclusion? Or can we come to the conclusion straight? Like this Sultan Shamsuddin Al-Tamash. He didn't go through all this, try it out, trial. Then he came to know. His entire life he left it out. He didn't look at any haram his entire life. So we don't have to go through it, then come there eventually. That is the Western way of thinking. Let's try it out, let's experiment and all that. Eventually will come. And the Islamic way is, no, our Nabi Sallam said this, so we will just go by it. He said, don't look, so we won't look. He said, look. Look at the Kaaba Sharif, we look at the Kaaba Sharif. Getting sawab. Look at your parents, you'll get one Hajj sawab. So looking at your parents, you got the Hajj sawab. Now, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking is, look, there you don't look. You don't look at your parents, you don't want to talk to them nicely. But one Hajj sawab you're getting just to look at your parents with respect and muhabbat. One Hajj maqbool sawab. But the thing is asking not to look, there you look. Haram, girl, television, cell phone, etc. That you want to look at. See, the whole brain, the whole understanding takes a revolution, goes upside down. Where he's telling you, look at this, there you don't look. Where he's asking you not to look, there you want to look. So this is the second thing. Anything that is haram, anything that is doubtful, just stay out. Just stay away. It's the word of Rasulullah SAW. You love him, you respect him. Out of his love, out of his respect, we're leaving it out. We don't want to then analyze it within our minds and try and find out what is the reason, all that. No, no. He asks us just to just keep out, just keep away. Okay. The doctor tells you that this water is contaminated. So you're not going to argue with him, you're not going to fight with him. Now, why must I leave it out and You think it will affect me? Yeah? What is the guarantee? What is the proof? What is the dalil that it must affect me if I drink it? Yeah? You're not going to argue with the doctor. You're not going to ask for any reason. So now it's contaminated, so I'm going to leave it out. Why, you got the respect for the doctor. So the small doctor, he is subject to fail and error. He is subject to guessing, right? And you got so much of respect for him. So your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi, you don't have the respect for. He is asking you, why, this is poison. This is contaminated. It's AIDS. It's going to contaminate your system. Then to extract it from your system will be very difficult. Once your eyes have become nafaq, once your eyes have become poisoned with all this haram, whatever it is, then to extract it, it will be very difficult. You are in an addiction. And when you are addicted to the haram, now to pull it out of your system is going to be very difficult. So don't get addicted. Right? Don't get addicted. One is now looking, and one is then flirting with women, even though it may be over the telephone. Like I say, you're in a business, you're in a practice, whatever it is. And even your job requires that you need to speak to different people. And it happens. You want your job done, so you flirt around with that girl, you talk to her sweetly, or friendly conversation, or you sound very friendly, whatever. The girl may tell you, or you may tell her something like this. Right? So, you're flirting with that woman. When you're flirting, then immediately that light of iman, the charge that is in your iman, that light is getting extinguished, whoever that girl may be. And don't say then, no, it's my sister-in-law, and it's like my sister-in-law, my cousin, and we grew up together, you know, I showed them, and I advised them, and I instructed them. It's a different type of a relation, it's not a haram relationship. No, that's all haram. Nabi Sallam is telling us very strictly, al-hammu al-mawt, your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, is death. Then why are you employing your reasoning against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Saying, no, it's just a sister, just a cousin, just a friend. That is the problem. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying something and we are using our reasoning against Rasulullah's instruction. You must go wrong. He has told you something. He is your most dearest friend. And Nabiyu awla bil mu'minin. Min anfusim. He is closer to you than your own heart. Than your own soul is closer to you. So who's going to give you better advice than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself? He said, just stay out. Your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, whatever it is. For the woman, the brother-in-law, and for the man, the sister-in-law. But you stay away from each other's way. Those people, those women, etc., that you will come more frequently in contact. When he's talking about brother-in-law and sister-in-law, what he is referring to, the woman, etc., that you come more frequently in contact with. They have more access to, you have more free access to them. So the chances for haram, etc., is more, like I say, the phone, the chances for haram is more there. On a television screen, the chances for haram is more there. So those places that are more accessible to haram, that are more prone to haram, that you keep out from. Al-ham wal-mod, the Wisdom is saying strictly, saying very clearly, it's death. So don't interfere, don't go and experiment with these areas. Where you can see now it's going to be haram. You know. That light in your heart will just go off. Now you're trying to work it out now, that light was in my heart now, where it's gone to. But you started it off, you experimented with this, now the light is gone. Now you have to start off again. You have put it off. You put up the structure so well, very nice, but you set a light to it. That's raised to the floor now, now you have to start off again. But you brought the destruction to the structure of faith, the structure of iman, with your carelessness, with a careless attitude. Right? So this is the second thing. One is the eye, the care of the eye. In this age and day, the two most important problems, the two most biggest disasters, one is the problem that is emanating from the eye, and the other is the problem and the disaster that comes from the tongue. One is the disaster that comes from the eye, and the other is the disaster that comes from the tongue. And unfortunately, these both organs we are most careless about. Eyes and tongue. Anything comes our way, we just letting drive. Anything comes, ghibat, or false rumors, allegations, anything we just pick up anywhere, we're just giving it. We don't even realize that it's being recorded. And sometimes it's just that one statement, and it puts off the light in your heart completely. One statement you made, one sentence, one wrong sentence you made, and that light that was burning in your heart, that light that was brightening your heart, that is gone off. I explained this morning as well. Maiz Aslami radiallahu anhu, right? And the wrong that he committed, and that left him restless because of his great intense love of Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is human being, obviously made a mistake. And he insists on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, purify me. Purify me, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that was because of his ardent love for Allah Ta'ala, his ardent love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He couldn't tolerate this, that I have committed this wrong, I must be purified. Until Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had no other alternative but that he must be stoned to death. When he's stoned to death, and one sahabi is saying, the other sahabi, see this person here, he should have just remained silent. He would have been killed like an ass now. Now see, he's stoned to death like a donkey is killed, like a dog is being killed. So Rasulullah overheard this, whatever conversation. He remained silent for that moment. And thereafter, when they had to pass by the body of a dead ass, Nabi asked those two sahabis that were talking about Ma'iz radiallahu anhu making ghibat and backbiting, go down and eat from this body, from this corpse. So this is haram, how can we eat of this? So, well, what you were engaging, backbiting and slandering your brother, that was worse off than eating from this. If this is haram, then slandering and backbiting your brother, speaking ill of him, was even worse. And innahu lafi anhari al-jannati alan, because of his regrets, remorse, he made such a sincere tawbah. Now he's driving in the streams of Jannat. You are talking ill of him, see where he's posted to and where you are. So these two are the areas of destruction today. One is the tongue and one is the eye. One is the tongue and one is the eye. If we can just look after this, inshallah, the whole life, the whole system will go right. The wrong that is happening is because of the misuse, the abuse of either the eye or the tongue. Just control the eye. The sins that are related to the eye, sins that are related to the tongue. We all know of the sins that are related to the tongue. So these two things, we must be very, very careful. So in the ma'mulat, when you say ma'mulat, then this is the ma'mulat. And then the zikr that the Buzhughan didn't give you, you complete that zikr. But these are the two areas that they say you must look after yourself. You fall in this problem, then to get yourself out of the problem becomes very difficult. It's an addiction, like how a drug is an addiction. To get yourself out of an addiction, how difficult. So same, the sins connected to the eye, sins connected to the tongue, it's so difficult to get yourself out of it. It's like worse than a drug. It's worse than a drug to get yourself out of it. You got the chaska of it, uska, you got the taste of it. Now, you can't get out of it. It's not an easy thing. So don't experiment in this area. Ramadan, Allah Pak lock those shayateen, that you may build up that energy. Alhamdulillah, many of you have built up that stamina to restrain. Now the problem, the challenge is when you go out and those shayateen are loosened, Now, how much are you going to restrain? How much are you going to exercise that restraint? So, this is the second thing that we need to be very, very careful about. Right? The third thing that we need to be very, very careful and very particular about, especially living in a Muslim minority, right? Muslim minority. And we need to be very careful about anything that signifies Islamic symbols, anything of significance of Islam, you show respect to it. Maybe sometimes you can't practice it, unfortunately. Right? But whatever it is something signifying your deen. It is the month of Ramadan. It is, for example, the Quran Sharif. It is someone making zikr. It is someone wearing a topi, someone wearing a kurta. Right? All these are signifying Islam. A woman wearing a hijab. Whatever it is, anything that is signifying Islam, anything that is a symbol of Islam and of deen, show the respect to it. This also preserves you, it secures you. Anything that signifies and anything that stands as a symbol of Islam, that respect it. As Mufti Rafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, show the effect of it. The effect of it, when you respect the symbols of Allah Ta'ala, anything, Quran Sharif, zikr, masjid, you're walking past a masjid now, you're not talking aloud so that you don't disturb those people in the masjid. There's a kitab reading that's taking place in the masjid. You won't talk outside the masjid so you don't disturb those people. So you're showing some respect to anything that is deeni. Anything that is deeni. Man is wearing with a kurta, so you're respecting him. A woman with a hijab, you're respecting. See? So anything that signifies Islam and deen, you respect it. And Mufti Rafi Sahib Rahman says that he had to be in Germany and one Sikh owning a big shopping complex, big massive shopping complex, and he was trying to get Mawlana, but Mawlana's program was so tight that he couldn't get to meet him. Well, this person left message after message, and somehow he came to Mawlana and said, "No, Mawlana, you must come and see me." Gave him a time, said, "You must come and see me." So he was insisting so much, Mawlana had to go and see him. So he says to Mawlana, "You know what, in my childhood, this trouble took place between India and Pakistan, the partition, where hundreds of Muslims were killed and all that. But around that time, I was walking with my father." The Sikh says to Mawlana, "I was walking with my father, I was accompanying him, and we were passing by a masjid in Delhi. And we saw one Quran, we saw this strewn on the floor. So my father picked it, my father asked me to pick it up, that this is the holy book of the Muslims, and go and hand it to the Imam." Right? So I did this, my father's command, so I just picked up the Quran Sharif, I held it with respect as my father had instructed me, and I had then gone and given it to the Imam Sahib. Anyway, but from that time that I had picked up the Quran with respect, and I had delivered it to the Imam, there was a strange type of liking in my heart that was kindled for Islam. And that was my childhood, I was about 9 or 10 years of age at that time, and now I'm 40. 30 years have gone, but that love for Islam, that muhabbat of Islam, is from the time that I picked up the Quran to this day. And now I am forced, Mawlana, I want you to initiate me into Islam. Okay? But where it started off respecting a symbol of Islam. Any symbol of Islam, anything small, person got a beard, I respect him for the beard. You don't tell me, Dari wala, you got no shame. Don't put the person down. A kurta wala, you got no shame. Don't use this type of phrases. Don't use this type of words. Right? Right? Yes, you can tell yourself. You can shout yourself. You got a beard, you got a kurta, and you're still doing all the wrong things. Shout yourself. But don't criticize and condemn other people in this way. Right? He's wearing that kurta, he's keeping the beard, respect him. Kurta, he's got a topi, he's got a turban, now respect him. Because he's in this Islamic minority, right? In a minority, 2% or 3%, he's identifying with Islam. He's identifying with the symbols of Islam. So we respect him. Whatever it is, but we are respecting him. And this respect will then take you forward from one point to the other. Mahmud Ghaznavi was the king of India, right? One of the kings of the conquerors of India. And the way that he had been blessed, he says there was an alim that came into the town and we respected him. We walked approximately 7 steps behind him, just out of respect. He was not an alim, but he says, "Well, he's an alim, so we need to respect him." Who says? Mahmud Ghaznavi says that he's an alim. Whatever he is, he's an alim, he's a respectable person, he's got the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, he's got a deen of Allah Ta'ala, so we need to respect him. That turned out to be a buzurg, an alim and a buzurg. And he made dua for Mahmud Ghaznavi, that like you show respect to me, then may Allah Ta'ala honor you and allow the kingdom to remain in your 7 generations. Allow the kingdom to remain in your 7 generations. As I said, true to his word, then that kingdom remained in his generation, in his progeny for 7 generations. So this respect that we show, anything that is to do with Islam, to do with Muslims, the cause of Islam, the cause of Muslims, we respect it, we promote it, we talk good about it. If we can't do much, at least talk good about it, respect it, show it the love, show it the respect. Who knows that showing that respect, showing that love, will one day bring us to the level of perfection. Like the Sikh, he says, after 30 years, this fire was always burning in me that I must accept Islam. I must accept Islam. And eventually, at the hands of Mufti Rafi Sahab, he accepted Islam. So this respect that we will show to anything that is an Islamic symbol, a Muslim symbol, because it is symbolizing a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it's symbolizing the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a symbol of Allah ta'ala, it was respected. Respect to it means sha'airillah, you're respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala will definitely reward you for it. So these are the 3-4 things that comes to mind. At least we go with these 2-3 things. And the 4th most important thing is for us to progress and continue, we have to keep in contact. Right? Where we break is Ramzan time comes and we all become very pious and all halat, everything, we are relating and everything, whatever halat we need to report the whole year, then we come and report it in Ramadan. Right? After Ramadan, we wait for next Ramadan to report again. Right? So this is an area of weakness again, that we keep this report, this relationship must carry on. Remember the hadith says, من أحب لقاء الله من أحب رجلا لا يحبه إلا لله. You love someone, you love him only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. الحب في الله, right? أحب لله وأبغض لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. You're perfecting your iman. You're loving someone, you love him only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. No worldly attachment. It is only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala that you've got a relationship with the person. Why? For the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So this is an elementary thing of iman. It will perfect your iman. Right? So with the mashayikh, buzurgan al-deen, you have got some taluk, got some relationship, only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, no other worldly motive. Not that I got some relationship with Hassan, so I got a problem now with the motor car, he's a mechanic, so he'll fix it up. No, not that. No. It's only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala that I kept a relationship. And you keep yourself away only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. That this person here, if I'm going to join his company, I don't despise him, but he's got some bad habits. If I'm going to join him, then I will get lured into the bad. So I keep away from him for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So the one that's loving for Allah Ta'ala and he detests something for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I'm going to sit with this person here and the talk, that conversation is going to go into ghibat. There's going to be false allegations, there's going to be ghibat. So I'm keeping away, not because the man is bad, but that talk is not right. That talk is going to lure me into more wrong, further wrong. So I'm keeping away for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. I join up with the person for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So this is an aspect of iman. It will perfect your iman. أَحَبَّ لِلَّهُ أَبْغَدَ لِلَّهُ. Then he has completed and perfected iman. Nabi Sallallahu is telling us indirectly that without associating with the Ahlullah, your iman can't be perfected. What is he saying in this hadith? What is he saying here? مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهُ وَأَبْغَدَ لِلَّهُ. What is he saying? He's telling you this much, that if you're not going to keep in association and taluk with the Ahlullah, then your iman will also not be perfected. Allah Ta'ala support tawfiq nasib.